Welcome to our sermon series, Faith Over Fear. Today we dive into the scriptures to see how we can be empowered to live by faith.
Listen, I want to tell you some stories. I want to tell you some scriptures that I love. And as I've come here this weekend, some of my messages for you sound a bit strange because I'm sharing things that you already have, but you need to understand my heart is this is what I'm preaching into Japan, amen? I'm preaching about the power of worship, amen? Yeah, you believe the power of worship? And I'm believing the joy of the Lord is our strength. How many believe that? Come on, put your hands up. How many believe the joy of the Lord is our strength? Uganda, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Japan, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so I want to share with you some scriptures from Acts chapter 16. I love this scripture. When we went to Japan, many people in Japan said, Japan is too tough. Japan is too hard. This is from Christian leaders. But we didn't believe that because we believed what God said. The Bible says that nothing is impossible with God. And we believe that when God called us through the picture of a big wave of God's love coming over Japan, God was calling us into a new day, a new moment. And I just love the concept of new moments, don't you? Last moment was hard, but next moment could be easy. Last moment was painful, but the next moment's going to be full of healing. Amen? It's called the Christian life. I believe it. So when we went to Japan, we heard negatives. We didn't receive that stuff. We just spoke, the joy of the Lord is our strength. God is here. Some people in Japan, some of my Japanese, asked me, Pastor Rod, do you feel God's presence more in other countries where there's more Christians? That's a good question. And so I've been around the world. I'm thinking, well, actually, God is really moving here in an amazing way. But when I go back to Japan, I feel God just the same. Amen. Do you know why? Because Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is not outside of us. The kingdom of God is within you. So here we are today worshiping. But when you go home, the kingdom of God is within you. Tomorrow when you're at work, the kingdom of God is with you. Students, when you go to school or university, the kingdom of God is in you. And it's the joy of the Lord is our strength, I think, is going to do an amazing thing. In the scripture I'm going to read, we're going to read about Paul and Silas, where they first go to Europe. They go to a city called Philippi. This city didn't even have a synagogue. There was no Jewish believers. Paul met some people by the river, Lydia, a lady selling purple cloth. But there wasn't really any spiritual activity. There were not much. And it was a bit like Japan. And it encourages me. Because in this city, Paul starts to go around sharing good news. He knows the kingdom of God. He starts sharing. And a young girl starts following. She's got evil spirits in her. She's a fortune teller. And as she follows, Paul gets increasingly concerned and finally turns to this young girl and casts the spirit out of her in a moment. Isn't that a good story? In a moment of time, it all changed for her. And all of a sudden, instead of people being happy, people got money from her, got very angry, and Paul and Silas went to prison. Now, this is a really interesting thing for us as Christians, because in our lives, sometimes bad things do happen. You understand that? Even bad things happen to good people. I could share stories. I'm sure you could share stories. But because the joy of the Lord is our strength, we can get through there with power and strength. Amen. So they go to jail. They're flogged. They're whipped by Roman law, which is a really bad flogging. And we're going to pick up the story here in Acts 16, verse 25. About midnight, which is a time of night, but also symbolic of the darkest hour, the hardest moment in their experience, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to? Who were the other prisoners listening to? Them. They're together. They're praising God in the middle of a jail at 12 o'clock at night, and it's dark, and it's a slimy, horrible prison, and it's bad, and they've probably got injuries from their flogging, and it's horrible, and they're praising God. Why were the other prisoners listening to them? Because they'd never heard that sound before. A prison like that had never heard the sound of rejoicing before, and it was impacting. And I want to tell you that when we worship, we don't worship that people would listen. We're not sort of, oh, praise the Lord, who's listening? We don't do that, do we? But, you know, when we worship the Lord, people are actually watching our lives and they're sensing something. In Japan, it's like that. People come to our church, and I love meeting non-Christians in our church for the first time. And I talk to them after the service. I say, hello, konnichiwa, hello. And they go, hello. And I say, did you enjoy church? Their first time ever in church. And they go, very good. I said, did you enjoy the music? And they say, oh, very surprising. They do, really. Surprising. Did you enjoy it? Were people friendly? It was very friendly. And then I'm on a roll. I'm thinking I'm doing really good here, you know. Did you enjoy my message? And they say, we didn't understand your message at all. True story. But they say, but it was good. We knew it was good. Isn't that interesting? And it doesn't mean that they were demonic or stupid. It just means it was their first touch. And sometimes people need a first touch and a second touch and a third touch and however long it needs, because people are on a journey. Keep praying for your friends, amen? Hello, everyone, come on. You with me? Keep praying for your friends. Another touch, another touch, another touch, and God could see them saved. You could see them saved. The other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose, and the jailer woke up. He was the guy that had flogged them. He was not a good man. He was a torturer. He wasn't a great person. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself. That could be from Japan. That's what people do in Japan when things go wrong. They think about killing themselves. It's a terrible thing. That's why we're there. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength, and we want people to know there is another way. He was going to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. And Paul shouted, I love what he shouts, don't harm yourself. We are all here with you. The man who just flogged us, we're here with you. Doesn't that sound like the church and the community? Amen. Amen. No matter what happens, we're still going to praise the Lord. Amen. No matter what man could do to me, you can't take away my praise. And in the middle of Japan, we feel the presence of God. And we've had a church there now for 17 years. We have now all our churches together. We have about 5,000 people in 20 campuses. Give the Lord a big hand. Come on, that's amazing. God is moving where they said it couldn't happen, Pastor Gary, and you've seen it. And that's why you love what's happening, because you come to Japan, you think, God could do this anywhere. And he's going to in the lakes area. Is that what it's called? The Great Lakes area? When you started sharing about that, I got so excited. I'm thinking, this is amazing. The praise of Watoto is going to help a lot of people, amen? We're not praising to get people's attention, but it's going to get people's attention. When your young people come to Tokyo and they're praising God, they're getting people's attention because they're so beautiful. A few years ago, we went through a terrible experience in Japan. We went through an investigation by the secret police. Now, in Japan, people don't even know there's a secret police. It's such an open society. But there is a secret police looking out for foreigners who might do damage to the country. So for some reason, they came after our church, because I'm Australian, and came after some other people too. And it was a one-year investigation. During that year, I couldn't leave the country. They said, if you try to leave, you will be arrested. You're under investigation. They first of all arrested two of our young foreign girls, one Australian and one Indonesian. And they said to them, just sign this paper that says that Rod Plummer is taking your money. And there's no reason for that. It was just ridiculous. But the two girls in the prison, they were actually in prison on those days, turned to those policemen who were very tough and said, we're not going to sign that because we didn't write that. You wrote that. But we know why we're here today. We're here to tell you about Jesus. Give the Lord a hand. Isn't that amazing? Next day. Sign that. Oh, no, we're not going to sign that because we didn't write it. But it's about money, isn't it? Can we tell you why we love to give to God? And these policemen had never met anyone like that before. These policemen were listening to them. It went on for a while like that. As I said, it went for a year. But one day something changed. We were a bit fearful as leaders. We could go to jail or be thrown out of the country. We had no other plan. But one night, one of my winning young men, I love winning young men and winning young women too, but one of my great young Japanese guys, hey, his name is Masashi. Everybody say, hey. Came up to me and he said, Pastor Rod, can I give you a hug? Now, in Japan, people aren't real huggers. They're high-fivers and they're bowers and they're hi-ers and they don't hug. He said, can I give you a hug? And I said, sure. And when he hugged me, he sort of knocked the wind out of me. It's like, okay, thank you for that hug. And he said to me, whispered in my ear, he said, Pastor Rod, I am Japanese. He said, the fight you're fighting is our fight. We are Japanese. This is for the Church of Japan. And he let me go. Praise God. And I thought to myself, the devil has lost the fight. Right there, right now, something was happening in the hearts of our young people. You see, when we praise in the prison, and when we praise in the earthquake, God is able to move in greater power. And then my son Monty, where is he? Over here. He's over here. That year we were going to Hillsong Conference in Sydney. We paid for our tickets. We were going. And I was told, I cannot leave the country. And so I said to Monty, you go. We bought the tickets. You go ahead. And Monty sat in our lounge room and said, Dad, if you can't leave this country, I'm not leaving this country. I love this country. I'm in this country. I'm going to stay with you. And something got into the heart of my son that day. And to this day, those two young men are full of the power of God. Isn't that amazing? Give the Lord a big hand. Come on. In this story, it goes on just a little bit more. It says, the jailer woke up and saw the prison. We read that. He thought he was going to kill himself. And Paul said, we're all here. Verse 29. And the jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. What a change of role. From the flogger and torturer to the person who just realizes that something has happened. Do you know that God can do that in people's lives? Are you believing for that in Uganda? Amen. Are you praying for people that God would change their hearts? Because here we see a man changed overnight, and it says, that night, that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds, and immediately he and his whole family being oikos, being probably 40 to 80 people, being like the community, were baptized. Because one man saw people praising through an earthquake and through a flogging, and he said, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. What an amazing story. I love this story. It gives us hope. A few years ago in our church, in fact, we get many people who say, if you weren't here, if this church wasn't here, we would have killed ourselves. Isn't that amazing? To be in a culture where suicide is the normal way out. And we live in that culture, and we have one girl in our church who was inviting a young girl through text. And I want to talk about this before I finish today, that God has given us a new instrument of evangelism. It's called text. Amen? All your young people say, yeah. All your older people say, what? You're getting onto it, right? I'm older, but it's good. And she invited a friend, and the friend said, I'm not sure if I'll come. Next week, she invited her, I'm not sure I'll come. And that young girl wrote in her diary, not because of the invitation to church, but she wrote in her diary, on the certain date, I will kill myself. It was a Saturday. In about 3 months, I will kill myself on this date. Now, this sounds very strange in Australia and Uganda, but when Japanese say that, they usually do it. So it's very serious. And this girl had there, and our friend was inviting her, not knowing this, week after week, would you come to church? No, I can't. Would you come to church? No, I can't. It was coming closer to that Saturday. The week before, would you come to church? No, I can't. And we had a service on a Saturday night, the day she had in her diary that she was going to commit suicide. And on that day she woke up, she saw her in her diary, today's the day. She was prepared. She had her plan. But then all of a sudden on her phone alongside her date came another text. Amen. From her Christian friend saying, "Today I'm praying for you. Would you come to church with me tonight?" And that morning she sat there. She said, "What should I do?" And she decided, "I will probably go to church and then I'll hear and then I'll go and kill myself." That was her plan. Well, when she got to church, God touched her. God touched her. God touched her. In the middle of the worship, in the middle of joy, in the middle of praise, she didn't understand it, as they don't at the beginning, but she felt hope, and she felt these people are different, and she felt, "God, could you help me?" And she gave her life to Jesus Christ. Give the Lord a big hand. Come on. She's moved to another city. She's married. She's got children. She's serving the Lord. And all because her friend said, "I will text again. I will text again. I will text again." And I believe, friends, that we have an opportunity in whatever country we are in to just show our joy for Jesus, not realizing who we might be touching. Who we might be touching. I'm going to finish with one last story. It's about text as well. We had a lady, we have a lady in our church, and we were asking people, just like your church is saying, you got a date with, invite someone, coming up soon. Pastor Julius, is that right? Coming up soon, sorry. 31st of March. And we had a day like that too, so would you, and we realized that text was a really easy way that people could re-invite someone who had been before. And we said to our church, "Would you consider texting somebody to invite them to that service?" Well, this young lady in our church got so excited. She went over all her people who had been before. She had about 20 names. She texted everyone with prayer. And out of the 20 texts she sent to invite them to church, 20 people responded. Now, hang on, wait a sec. They didn't respond coming to church, but they texted back saying, "Thank you for thinking about me." We're living in a different world. There's no rejection with texting. It's quite amazing. But one of the 20 texted back and said, "Did you know I'm in hospital today?" And our girl said, "No." And she said, "Did God tell you to contact me?" And our girl said, "Yes." She was on the prayer list. And that girl in hospital said, "I can't come this Sunday, but could I come the following Sunday?" The answer is, of course you can. She came the following Sunday and gave her life to Jesus Christ. Give the Lord a big praise. Come on. She's on our dream team, on our sound team. Hi, sound team. You're doing a great job. She's on our sound team. And she gave a testimony. You want to help me with the team here as I finish? She's on our sound team, and she gave a testimony in front of our church about getting that text and the effect it had on her when she was in a difficult, she was in an earthquake in her life, in hospital, in a bad way, when she got another text saying, "Would you come to church with me?" She gave the testimony that when she was 16 years old, her family went bankrupt and they blamed her, a 16-year-old girl, and they left the family. They left her in the house and they left her forever. When I heard that, because I know this girl's just full of the joy of the Lord, amen? And I know the history of Japan, that people like that are really, really, they could commit suicide or do anything. And she was giving this testimony in front of the church, and she's saying, "Thank you, church, for inviting me. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you to my friends in the church. My life is totally changed." She's about 21 or 22 now. She said, "When I got saved, I was so full of, you know, anger about what happened in my family. But afterwards, I decided to forgive my parents. In fact," she said, "I'm trying to find them, to meet them, to make peace with them, because I'm now a Christian." I believe that God is moving, amen? And sometimes people just need another text. People just need another invitation. I'm not saying this to put us under guilt, but I'm telling you, we're living in a new generation that is very open to invitation. Out of those 20 that were invited on her list, the other 19 said, "Thank you for inviting me." Isn't that amazing? Every single one. And I believe that when we have a heart of joy and a heart of invitation, we're going to see many, many more people come in here and give their lives to Jesus Christ. Amen. because the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Thank you for listening. I hope this sets you up to choose well and excel in life. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scripture and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@thetotochurch.com.